Off the Ball Daily.
A home for your favourite podcasts from Off the Ball.
Any player who scored a men's FIFA World Cup goal for England since France 98.
How many is there altogether?
28.
I'll go 18, just because I don't want David to get his flex category.
Subscribe to the Off the Ball Daily podcast feed right now.
World Cup Daily on Off the Ball. With Lynx, a proud sponsor of the FIFA World Cup 2026.
Hello and welcome along to Monday's World Cup Daily. I'm Phil Egan. Coming up today, John Russell is the new manager of Shelburne. Could the World Cup be on the way to even more expansion as FIFA ponders a 64-team tournament? And it could be a case of one in and one out for Aston Villa this week. But first, Shelburne have confirmed the appointment of John Russell as their new manager today. The Galway man has spent the last 4 years in charge of Sligo Rovers and takes over from Joey O'Brien, who left the role last month. Russell's first game as Shell's boss will be away to Kerry this Friday night in the FAI Cup. The 41-year-old had three spells as a player with Sligo and won the FAI Cup twice. He also won a Premier Division title with Liam Buckley St. Pat's in 2013. Russell took over as manager of Sligo midway through the 2022 season, and in the Conference League qualifiers they beat Ballytown and Motherwell before their campaign ended against Norwegian side Viking. In the league, Sligo Rovers finished fifth in his first season in charge. Then in 2023 they came 8th, they were 6th in 2024 and finished 7th last season. Plans for a 64-team World Cup will be discussed after the current tournament, according to FIFA President Gianni Infantino. He says the events need to be for the whole world, not just Europe and South America. This year's competition was expanded to 48 teams and Infantino believes it's been a huge success, with the likes of Cape Verde making headlines for their performances. The FIFA Council approved the expansion of a World Cup from 32 to 48 teams in 2017. Now, the 2030 edition will be mainly co-hosted by Spain, Portugal and Morocco, with the three opening matches to be hosted by Argentina, Uruguay and Paraguay to celebrate the centenary of the competition when Uruguay hosted the first World Cup in 1930. On Sunday's World Cup Hour, Keith Tracy and Owen Doyle joined John Duggan, and the three lads debated the benefits and the positives of the possible expansion.
So lads, just in terms of Gianni Infantino, the FIFA president, has made quotes to Blue in a Swiss media outlet, of course he's from Switzerland, about the potential of the World Cup becoming the 64-team World Cup. But these are the quotes from Gianni. That's definitely an issue that'll be examined and discussed in the relevant committees after this World Cup. When organising the World Cup, it's important to organise for the whole world, not just Europe and South America, but effectively the entire world. Every nation should be allowed to dream of participating in the World Cup. You can see that the quality of the teams is extremely high. It's getting higher and higher all over the world. If you don't give smaller countries a chance to participate in the World Cup, they'll lack the incentive to keep improving. Would you favour a 64-team World Cup at Spain, Portugal and Morocco in 2030? Obviously, from a Jeopardy point of view, it would be better for the viewer and we'd probably be there.
I'm all for it, yeah. Yeah, I'm all for it. I don't... be similar to how the competition is now. You'd imagine I'd just accept the top two out of each group would go through. And I know, like... when all these things come around, like nostalgia kicks in and oh, please don't change things, please don't change things. But you'll never complain when you see all that colour and you've all the nations coming out together and all the fans and the stories and the crack they're all having in between the matches and stuff and on the way to the games and the noise being created. I don't really see anything negative about that at all. You obviously want the whole competition to be competitive. So you don't want to see 6-0, 7-0, if there are a few teams in there that are going to be like that. But yes, to me, bigger picture thinking here, I think it is a positive thing, and listen, it gives us better chance to get there more regularly. Like, I think them life experiences for all of us will do us all the world of good.
Yeah, I'd be all over it. I think it was Kenny Cunningham on the opening day of the World Cup, he brought this up, and initially I think it was rubbish. People, 64 teams, we don't want that. But 64 teams, top two teams in every group goes through. There's jeopardy in every group stage match. I mean, we had Norway make 10 changes against the French. That wouldn't be happening if you have to finish in the top two. So yeah, I'd be absolutely all over it. There's been a couple of teams that have took a couple of batterings, but the likes of Cape Verde and Curaçao making history at the World Cup, that's what it's all about. And I know, you know, we've been there and we've done quite well with the last 16 against Spain in 2002. But, you know, to get there again would inspire another generation. And yeah, I absolutely all for it, JD. Why not?
And you can hear that back in full in your OTB Football podcast feed. Now, France have arrived in Dallas ahead of their World Cup semi-final with Spain tomorrow. Thousands lined the streets to welcome Kylian Mbappe and co. Former Liverpool defender Ibrahima Konate, now a Real Madrid player, was asked if they had special plans to deal with the Spanish teenage superstar Lamine Yamal, but he says they can't be focused on one player.
To be honest, we don't really think about it, because the Spanish team is an exceptional nation with a lot of individuality. But the goal is not to focus on one particular player, because it's the entire team that can hurt.
So that game's on Tuesday. Then on Wednesday, it's England against Argentina in the second semi-final. It'll be the first World Cup meeting between the two since 2002, when a David Beckham penalty was the difference between the sides. With England into their first semi-final since 2018, the prospect of England winning a first World Cup since 1996 has grown even stronger. Owen, Keith and John discussed the reaction there could be if England do manage to get over the line this summer.
You both played in England, and look, this is it's the easiest debate in the world to have. Would we never hear the end of it if England won the World Cup?
No, we're still hearing about 1966, aren't we? We're still hearing about Maradona's handball, which, by the way, he scored probably the best goal the World Cup has ever seen in that game, but we very rarely hear about it. And look, I think it's a great bit of banter between the Irish and the English media, the World Cup, all that type of stuff. Honestly, I've had people that I'm very, very fond of playing for England, and if they were to win it, there'll be a big chunk of me that would say, well done. But the English media is something that I find very hard to stomach, JD. You know, they win one game against Croatia and the song "It's Coming Home" starts coming out, and it's all a little bit cringy, but I have to be honest, I am getting a little bit nervous that they could do it. I think this is their best chance in a long, long time. The fractions between Liverpool, United, Chelsea players, Man City players all seems to be put to bed, and they seem to be all pushing in the same direction. And I think a lot of it, I know Doyler says it's in spite of Tuchel, I think a lot of it is because of him, that he's not picking the best players, he's picking the best team. And I think he's getting a tune out of them. I mean, I spoke about Kobe Mainoo not being happy. I think if Trent Alexander-Arnold was there, or a Luke Shaw, or possibly a Harry Maguire, they would start to rock the boat, and a little bit of toxicity comes into the dressing room, but it doesn't look to be like that at the minute. So, yeah, I wouldn't begrudge England winning it, but I think I'd turn my phone off if they did.
Yeah, I woke up this morning with a few messages off a few mates that are English fans, and they were out last night, and some of the videos that they were sending me were... I wouldn't repeat them here, but they're it's hard for me to stomach, like, you know. I'd struggle with it now. I would begrudge them. Like, the entitlement. The entitlement, how they behave, they think they own football. The whole coming home, carry on. It's just
They did invent the modern game.
I could do without it in my life, John. That's what I could do. That's how I'd feel now. I just don't want them to win it. I wish they were out already, like.
Former Ireland captain Andy Townsend joined John and Shane Keegan on Football Saturday this week, fresh from commentating at the World Cup. And Townsend described what the Argentine players are doing so they can get the best out of Lionel Messi.
Andy, you were at the Dallas game. So if I'm right, you were at Spain-Portugal. You were at two of the Argentina games, the Austria and the Jordan games. Is that correct?
Correct. Yeah, we did. I think I did eight in there. John, and saw some really good games. Saw Japan, Netherlands was a good game. Obviously, Messi doing what Messi does has been incredible. I've never seen with all the football that I've watched over the years, abroad and at home, anywhere you like, I've never seen a group of fans that idolise a player to the level that the Argentinian fans are with Lionel Messi. Literally, I swear to you, everybody walking into the ground, guys, has got a number 10 Messi on their back. I don't think you see another number on an Argentinian supporter's shirt. You just don't. It's quite astonishing. It really is. It's incredible, the levels. And I said this before a game, before one of the group matches, having witnessed it, and then witnessed his performance, and he scored on the day. I just couldn't believe that sort of adulation really existed over any one player until you're actually there and you witness it with your own eyes. Absolutely astonishing. And Shane, when you're talking about a team that's kind of built with the eight piano movers and three, well, they got 10 piano movers, yeah. That lot. right? And one piano player, you know, that because they all do whatever it takes to try and facilitate him. And why wouldn't you? Because he's so incredible. He's so amazing to watch. Even at the age of 39, yes, he does a lot of walking around. But let me tell you, when he decides to run, he is still very quick. He is. He might not be able to do it over 40 or 50 yards, of course not. But over 10, 15, 20 yards, he's still lightning fast. He just only picks and chooses the right times to make those runs. But been incredible to watch him. Seen some great goals, yeah, some great games. And in that fantastic stadium. But the Argentinian fans, it is incredible. The godlike status that Lionel Messi has, and the way that they genuinely believe he will carry them all the way to back-to-back World Cup titles. Honestly, they really do. That's how much they love him and adore him, and why wouldn't they?
And if you want to listen to Football Saturday back in full, you can do so now in your OTB Football podcast feed. Become a member and sign up at offtheball.com/join. And World Cup Daily and Off The Ball is brought to you by Lynx, a proud sponsor of the FIFA World Cup 2026. Smell your best when you look your worst. Manchester United are set to seal a deal for Aston Villa midfielder Youri Tielemans. United have triggered a €41 million release clause in the Belgian's contract. It follows their decision to abandon a move for Atalanta's Ederson. Villa, meanwhile, looks set to beat Newcastle through the signing of Switzerland international Johan Manzambi. Both clubs have agreed a fee of €57 million with Bundesliga side Freiburg, but it's believed the 20-year-old's in favour of a move to Villa. Manzambi played against Villa in the Europa League final in May. Liverpool's new manager Andoni Iraola says he wants to give the fans a team to be proud of. He's been speaking publicly for the first time today since he replaced Arne Slot as manager earlier this summer. The Spaniard left Bournemouth at the end of the season and says he wants to get Anfield rocking with his style of football.
It has to come from us, from inside the pitch. And we have to be a team that works hard, intense, aggressive, vertical, so everyone can be identified, everyone can feel comfortable, no, supporting this team.
Spain defender Mapi Leon has joined London City Lionesses on a 3-year deal after her exit from Barcelona. The 31-year-old spent 9 years with Barca and was part of the team that beat Lyon in this year's Champions League final, their fourth European title. In total, Lyon won 27 trophies and joins former Barcelona teammate Alexia Putellas in London. And last week, the crappy quiz featured a lot of World Cup trivia, including the fact that an Inter and Bayern player is featured in every World Cup final from 1982. And here you can hear Dara Smith-Naughton, Shane Hannan and David Wilson put their knowledge to the test by trying to name all 42 players in the pass a parcel of Doom Round.
Between 1982 and 2022, Inter Milan and Bayern Munich have had at least one of their players represented in every World Cup final.
Jeez.
Can you name them? So the order here is David, Shane, Dara. There are 42 players. There's a bonus point on offer if you name either of the two players who have played in different World Cup finals while playing for each of the clubs. Once either of the players are named, they are no longer eligible.
I'll go with Lautaro Martinez.
Let's go Philip Lahm.
Neuer.
Surely he played in 2014. Bastian Schweinsteiger?
Mario Götze.
Götze, well done.
Is he a Bayern player?
I thought he was Dortmund at that point. No,
2014 is...
He was Dortmund, but...
Okay. Iron Robin.
Thomas Müller.
Müller. 2014, yeah.
It's me, isn't it?
Yeah.
Materazzi.
Materazzi.
Marco Materazzi, when he gets the headbutt, 2006.
Jerome Boateng.
Boateng, good answer.
I'll go... Oliver Kahn.
I need bonuses. Can I attempt Lucio?
You can.
That was so risky, like...
You can't attempt it.
Bayer Leverkusen.
But it's wrong.
Yeah, I'm starting to run a little bit thin here. Perisic.
Wesley Schneider.
Yes, 2010.
Ronaldo Nazario.
Hey. Yeah. You don't need to say the second name.
I was...
Yeah, I do.
I had him as well. I was just unsure.
98 and 2002.
Lothar Matthäus.
Boom. Bonus point.
Get up out of it.
1990. Wow.
Blow it up.
Enter.
So what's the point of me even continuing here?
86.
So we get to 1 point for that.
Kingsley Coman.
Yeah.
Karl-Heinz Rummenigge.
Karl-Heinz Rummenigge, bonus points.
That's a real South Monaghan thing there. Pretending you're a bit dumber than you are.
So flawed.
Just a bit stupid than you are.
1982, he was with Bayern. 1986.
Knew he was at the entire time there. Like
he is with Inter.
This is a proper punt. Mario Gomez.
No. No. I would have thought the 2014 World Cup, you'd be
I thought
all
he might
that.
Have got off the bench or something, yeah.
And remember, you can listen to the quiz each and every Friday, wherever you get your podcasts or on YouTube. That's about all we have time for in today's World Cup Daily. I'm Phil Egan, and I'll be back with more tomorrow.
World Cup Daily on Off the Ball with Lynx, a proud sponsor of the FIFA World Cup 2026.
To unlock much more from the OTB football feed, sign up at offtheball.com/join now.